listen to a story about the festive fans. Two old friends dreaming about the foreign lands. And then one day they were thinking it'd be cool to find how the world is a celebrating you. Christmas, Noel, Nativity! Said it's time for a podcast. Said a Christmas movie is what you ought to see. So they scouted across the globe for one in each country. Far away, overseas, distant lands. Time to start the show with Bob and Mark and Jake. We'd also like to thank you folks for all the time you make. You lend your ears to listen to us every other week to spend a festive episode with other Christmas freaks. 3 years anniversary show! Y'all come back now you're here.
Fireworks, light up the tree, fire up the grill, and turn up the Christmas music. It is time for the Festive Foreign Film Fans Third Anniversary Spectacular, featuring a festive face-off of holiday heavyweights, wrapped up in red, white, and blue. From the heart of Cary, Illinois, our annual 4F event is back, and this year we are bigger, louder, and more patriotic than ever before, as we also salute the 250th birthday of the United States of America. So rally the troops, down the nog, and raise the flag. It's going to be a star-spangled celebration and one unforgettable great American Christmas clash, an ultimate holiday smackdown. Are you ready?
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Lord, you! Christmas last for you.
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
But they're both festive, aren't they?
Welcome to the Festive Foreign Film Fans Anniversary Show, as we join together to celebrate both our podcast and the 250th birthday of the United States.
Tonight, we are honoring 3 years of a podcast that is built on one simple idea, that the more we learn about the Christmas celebration through movies, music, and foods of other countries, the better we understand our own perspective. As we look back on our 250 years of history, we're reminded that the United States has always been shaped by bringing people and their cultures together, their memories, their recipes, songs, and stories with them to a brand new country that offered them hope and promise.
Mark, do you think they packed all those things on their back, their cultures, their memories, their recipes?
I mean, how did those boats stay afloat, Bob?
I know, exactly. Ellis Island was sinking. In the spirit of discovery and celebration, let's kick off our third anniversary award show with our top choices of the various customs and traditions that we've talked about over the past year. What a colorful and interesting way to get things started. So, Mark.
Yes.
Speaking of customs and traditions.
Yes.
Customs and traditions.
My first one, and it has nothing to do with the fact that it occurs the day before my birthday, but I picked The one from Colombia. It's El Día de las Velitas. This is the holiday that was the inspiration for the candle festival in Disney's Encanto. It's the day of the little candles. And as we talked about then, if you look at this online, it's amazing. People put candles and paper lanterns. They put them everywhere. Windowsills, balconies, porches, sidewalks. You walk down the street, it's covered with candles. And I thought that was just so cool. And then they even talked about if you go further out of the cities, the rural places have big bonfires. And this is all in celebration of Jesus' mom, the Virgin Mary, and Bob's birthday.
All right. So that's your number three. My number three, we're going to go to the country of Estonia.
Oh.
I think you're going to say, Mark, you're right. Your choice is better than mine. Estonia has the genuine Christmas market that dates back to 1441, right around the year your birth was. It has a unique blend of old world charm and modern delights. It has been voted the best Christmas market in Europe with its snowy medieval streets, rich history, and delicious food.
Mark, I have to tell you, I thought about that one. You know, I start out with the full list and I narrow down.
Hard.
I think that was on my list of five.
Yeah, well, you and I have talked about how we're both dying to go to a Christmas market tour someday. And Estonia has never been on my radar, but it is now.
I know, Mark. It's the Festive Foreign Film Fans Tour. Let's ask all our listeners to send a dollar in and send Mark and Bob.
GoFundMe. I like it.
Well, my number two, we are off to Cuba.
Cuba.
Yes, Mark, it's the festivity of Las Parrandas. And I like this event, but I also like that they tried to oppress Christmas in Cuba. But this area, they wouldn't let them do it. This festival has been going on since 1820. Describe it as a carnival-like festival and originated in the town of Remedios. And we heard the story about the priest. Nobody was going to church. And so he sent the kids out into the neighborhood and said, hey, can you bang pots and all that and make some noise and get people to come to church? Well, obviously his idea worked because it built and built. And as the tradition evolved, it was no longer banging pots and stuff. People started playing music. Bands were playing music in the streets. Then it grew even further into surrounding towns. So now there are 18 different communities and they compete and they have conga groups, rumba dance parties, big colorful floats, giant fireworks shows, and decorations like lamps, lanterns, banners, and emblems. They develop their own emblems for each of their neighborhoods and they have this giant music party competition in Cuba.
I love that you're highlighting the strong will that must have taken for the Cuban families to keep that tradition going and not worry about oppression. I like it.
Exactly.
Well, for my number two, Bob, we are going to a really happy place. I mentioned this before. These are very happy people, the Philippines. And my number two is the Philippines, for known for having the world's longest and merriest Christmas season, yes, with festivities spanning from September to January. Like, if we did that regularly in the United States, we'd be so poo-pooed on and looked down on. People would judge us.
So broke.
As the summer comes to close, malls, they start to put decorations out. And these decorations are so over the top, they actually have its own term, bunga, meaning flamboyant, abundant, spectacular. So any place that's going bunga is my kind of place.
And it's my middle name.
It is. You know, between the long season of it, we've talked about it. What's too soon? Is it the day after Halloween to take decorations down? But I'm not the biggest fan of Halloween. So if I can eliminate Halloween and just have the 25 beers of Christmas season, because I'm going to need 25 if I'm going September to December, Bob, it's my new Bunga Christmas beer festival.
If I remember, one of the reasons why they started this is the Filipinos like countdowns and they like to start at day 100. So I think it's the 100 beers of Christmas.
I could do it. You could easily do a beer a day for 100 days.
No, it's problem. Like September 15th becomes like the 100th day before Christmas.
That's right. So, but that's my number two, to go to a happy place. I love Filipino people and many of their traditions. A quick one that didn't make the top three, but the Nine Divinas. That almost made it, but didn't quite make it.
I was going to say, I love the Philippines too. They may not show up in this category, may show up somewhere else because
maybe.
It's a wonderful place. What's so funny though is when you talk about the novena, yeah. I looked at that and I thought, I love the tradition. I cannot get up at 4:30 a.m. for 9 days in a row to go to church.
You could do it. I would pick you up, Bob. Maybe next Christmas season, I'll pick you up every day, okay. Knocking at your door at like 4:30. The dog's barking and Mary Ellen will be like, Bob, is that Mark again?
If we're going to do a resolution of something to do with the holiday, is the choice 9 days of going to church or 100 beers? I think I might be leaning toward the 100 beers.
I can't disagree with you, Mr. Baker.
Well, Mark, drum roll.
That's your drum roll?
When a tempo isn't specified, any reasonable person would default to lento.
Well, it's terrible and you ruined a fun thing.
My number one, we're off to the Dark Continent, to Rwanda, where what I loved, and I picked this as number one, is because communities in Rwanda, they collect their money cooperatively. They put it together. They have these saving groups known as the Ibimima and the Isabane. They operate like credit unions. You give a little bit of money every week. It builds up, and all that money collectively determines how the community is going to celebrate Christmas. You know, what kind of food they can buy, what clothes they can buy for their kids. And what you love about this, how much more it makes the holiday meaningful because they're planning it collectively with the whole community. What can we do together?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think it's humbling to hear what they probably have to do to celebrate, but talk about doing it for the right reason. I really like that one. My number one, Bob, is in Belgium. I love Belgium. In 2016, so it's a relatively new tradition. They've added over 2,000 red mailboxes that are decorated with a mitre and a beard for letters and drawings to St. Nicholas. The letters don't need stamps, and with the return addresses, they'll actually receive a letter back from Santa Claus too. And I think doing that across the whole country and giving a way for the kids to sort of just drop their things in this day and age where maybe Santa is diminishing and losing some sight and the parents are like, I got you that present, not Santa. Yeah. I just think it's a cool, more recent tradition that I would like to see us adopt here.
Mark, we didn't pick any of the same, but that one, I was torn so much because this is a new tradition in a time where you're competing against social media and all these distractions. And, you know, what kid wants to write a letter to Santa? They put 2,200 mailboxes out decorated like St. Nicholas. It was beautiful. I totally agree with you. That's an honorable mention on me.
I mean, it was hard to pick. You know, we were probably going to say this in all the categories, but it's so hard to narrow down. I mean, the ones you selected are awesome. I think fit the spirit of the holiday. I always find that I think probably it's what I share the most when I'm talking about our podcast. When I say, wow, you know what I learned? I learned about this. In fact, so many of these are impactful, and there's so many that you want to adopt and talk about. You chose wisely, my friend. I like the three you chose.
And you as well. And if you think about it, with the customs and traditions and with the foods, when it comes to the music or the movies, we really have a set number. It's exactly the number of episodes we've had. But when we get the customs, we have three pages of things. And I go through the list. Oh, I've X'd off three.
I know.
You know. I don't want the bloated fish that's gassy that comes out of the ground in Greenland. That one I know. Strike that one out. There's one down.
And I don't want to eat any cats and dogs if I'm living in Switzerland.
That's another one. There we go. Well, Mark, this is such a special event. I know we started and we're in right into our awards, but there's another component. You're not going to believe it, to our anniversary show. We are going to be traveling to some of the most significant moments in our country's history. Can you believe it?
What?
We're going to embrace and use one of the most infamous and common tropes in cinematic history, time travel.
What?
Mark, look, what do you see in front of us?
Well, Bob, it looks like one of those plastic inflatable pools.
Yes. Well, I did want us to use that infamous hot tub time machine.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to whisk us off back into the past, but we're a little strapped. We could only afford the discount kiddie pool, the time machine from the dollar store. But here's a good thing. Our time travel, it runs on powdered Kool-Aid. We just have to make sure that the neighbor's dog doesn't drink out of our time portal.
You know, this is kind of like Bob and Mark's excellent adventure.
Don't you think? I love that. And look what I got for us. See?
What?
These are matching red, white, and blue sequin Speedos just for the occasion.
Question, Bob. If they're matching, why does yours say 1776 to 2026 on the back? Why does yours say that, but mine says wide load?
Oh, don't worry. That's just a printing error. You know, I got these off of Temu.
You know, I think I'll provide my own shorts. Thank you very much.
So, Mark.
Yes.
Where are we going to go first? How about July 4th, 1776, and the signing of a very historic document?
Well, okay, sure. But, like, how does this all work?
Okay. Here's what you got to do. Follow me. And you got to do what I do. Ready?
Yep.
Cannonball! To read this in a colonial voice.
Oh, okay, but what is a colonial voice?
Gentlemen, future generations will remember this moment forever.
Well, they'll certainly remember one part of it.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, do you think to leave any room for the rest of us? Good Lord, John, did you empty the inkwell when you signed this thing? Your name is bigger than the Declaration of Independence title.
I think that history will reward my boldness.
Look, I mean, the British are asking if John Hancock is the name of our new country.
I regret nothing, lads. Look at this impressive penmanship.
Oh, and good Lord, I understand that it's your name, but Hancock? Really? By the crown, you might as well have signed Master Bader. When people speak of signature centuries from now, really, this is the name they're going to remember.
Well, I could have used my full name, Long John.
Egads! What type of sorcery is this? A large, foul-smelling basin of water has appeared. It's the devil's handiwork.
Nope. It's our ride. Time to go.
Hey, Mark, really? Foul-smelling? You had to add that?
I was just trying to be dramatic.
But first, Twist, a word from our sponsors.
After these commercial messages.
It's a commercial.
A crummy commercial?
These commercials are stupid.
Commercials.
Bob, what are you doing?
I'm working with Alluvium.
Alluvium? You mean A-L-L-U-V-I-U-M? Interesting. What is that?
Wait. Let me guess. Is it rare?
Yes.
Is it valuable?
Very.
Is it in the ground?
Kind of.
I know. It's a precious metal.
Wrong.
It's precious, yes, but not a metal. Alluvium is the rare partner who offers us valuable services by providing landscape design and construction for the care of your grounds. So you know the plantings in my yard?
Mm-hmm.
Those stone steps, the deck, that's all been designed by the owner, Brandon Losey. Also think about Trout Valley, those brick paths, the gardens, and the new beach, all alluvium all the time.
Can they help me with my natural spaces?
Absolutely. Sue said she'd do anything to get you out of the house. But I'd contact them now before things heat up for the season. Call 224-422-4510 or look up Alluvium Landscapes in Barrington, Illinois.
Alluvium Landscapes, building the great outdoors.
Wow. Bob, is that it?
What do you mean?
This is all we got to see of colonial America?
Well, between the suits, Jake, and the Kool-Aid packets, The budget's just a little stretched. This time machine is a bit low rent. We don't get entire historical events, only moments. But think of it like the free trial version of time travel.
No Revolutionary War. We just pop in, wave awkwardly at George Washington, and then get back before the warranty expires? Great.
That's about it.
Well, I'm ditching my powdered wig. Now what?
Well, we've arrived at something equally as exciting. An awards ceremony. Only we have air conditioning and fewer smallpox concerns.
So let's leave the 18th century behind and turn our attention back to tonight's awards and our own memorable festive foreign film fans and moments.
Next up, our favorite snippets of the season.
Snippets? What is that? Is that like a code word for a vasectomy?
No, Mark. A snippet is that brief comedic open that occurs before our theme song. It's the official start of our podcast. You know, where we make an attempt at humor in a desperate gesture to try to grab our listeners' attention?
Oh, yeah, the short part of our show. That's my favorite.
Wait, what?
So, my number three choice for favorite snippet is Rock and Roll Christmas Song. I love the banter back and forth as we try to think of those various songs, Bob. They're awesome.
I like the singing, Mark.
Yeah.
I love the singing.
Maybe that's why I picked it.
We could have just picked all the singing ones.
True. I'm a legend in my own mind.
I didn't go with the singing, although, like I said, I could have. My third choice is our own holiday traditions, like when Jesus cut down Joseph's cherry tree.
Yes.
And hiding the ornaments out in front of our houses.
Right. I'm sorry. My priest wouldn't let me actually vote for that one. He said I had to take that off the list.
You had to go to confession.
I have already too many things mounting up against me. My number two is, and it was just close, and maybe this will backfire me for not having it number one, but my number two is our Pledge Allegiance to Jake. Because I pledge allegiance to Jake. He is the man. He is the sound pounder. He is the Italian stallion. He is the daddy-o of daddy-o. And I thank my lucky stars every time I stand up each morning and say the Pledge of Allegiance to Jake.
Mark, it's our first match. Yes, ding, 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 I picked the Pledge of Allegiance to Jake, too. And if I had it memorized, I'd say, let's stand up and do it right now. I love the Pledge of Allegiance to Jake.
We pledge assistance to the fans of festive films outside of America and bring them to the public from foreign lands. Our mission, under God, unabashedly, with merriment and laughter for all.
Do we need to do this before every recording?
He deserves it.
Absolutely.
Someday he may be the supreme leader somewhere, I think. Maybe in the future. My number one, and it's really hard, right? And I was a little influenced by other people telling me how much they liked this one. And I really liked it as well. So I have to admit that there was some influencer, but it was the one we did of Chandler and Baker.
Mark, I thought for sure you were going to pick that as well, because I picked it too.
Oh!
It's Chandler and Baker, Baker and Chandler.
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
No presents present? Tinsel in a tangle? Christmas a Christmas? Get what you deserve with Chandler and Baker, your own scrappy Santas.
When holidays fail, you'll need a team to fight for you. At Baker and Chandler, we specialize in recovering festive fun. Noel Stone will be unturned until the jollies are back in your follies.
With years of experience and a proven track record, a celebratory success, Chandler and Baker is here to help add vent your frustrations.
Whether it's a family squabble, overconsumption, or any other failed festivity, Baker and Chandler is on your side.
Why choose Chandler and Baker? No fees. Our checks don't clear until you've cheered.
At Baker and Chandler, we listen, we care, and we are dedicated to a nifty nativity.
Don't navigate this home alone. We'll be your miracle on 34th Street. Chandler and Baker, make it a fight Christmas.
Call Baker and Chandler, your advocates for justice, because you deserve to be very merry.
1-800-BAKER-CHANDLER, Chandler and Baker, they got your back, they're the best of lawyers. Give them a call when Christmas is on the return.
I laughed when we did it. I laughed when I heard it the first time when I was at it. I laughed when I listened to the show again. And then several other people said, oh my God, that snippet is just hilarious.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I went through all the snippets to listen to them all again. And that one plays, and I just laugh. What is so good about it is people don't notice at first that we're changing the name of right. Chandler Baker. And we keep emphasizing our own names louder and louder. And it's so funny.
So true.
The other thing, too, and it's subtle, though, but the play on the law firm. So it's like tinsel in a tangle and the various holiday puns we did, too.
What I'm trying to understand is, what does America's birthday have to do with our anniversary, Bob?
Well, think about it. 250 years does feel a lot like our podcast.
Long stretches where not much seems to be happening. Occasional periods of confusion. Debates over things that nobody cares about. A few disasters. Well, yeah, well, I never thought about it. We are true patriots, only with stickers. Lots and lots of stickers.
That you can win. Pay attention. But honestly, I think we can say from experience, like our fearless leaders, that if you talk long and loud enough and with enough confidence, people will just assume you know what you're doing. And unlike George, you don't even have to tell the truth.
Isn't this a great country? But I do have one really important question right now.
What's that?
Why does the water in this pool suddenly feel warmer?
Ew! Cannonball!
Well, Mr. President, they're already calling you the Great Emancipator.
Are they now?
Yes. The savior of the Union and the liberator of millions. History will remember you fondly.
Me? Not the slave who fled north knowing capture meant death, or the soldier who fought and died in Union blue? These are the people who paid for emancipation, not I. And they paid in full.
Well, still, sir, without your leadership...
I have spent 4 years in warm rooms and full mills. Why, boys are killed in the battlefields and widows cry beside their graves. Do not mistake my work as sacrifice. Nothing can assuage a mother's feelings of pain and loss.
Well, I mean, the nation thanks you.
Not all. Our Confederate friends are not happy with me, and they will not soon forget.
Oh, come now. They couldn't wait to abolish slavery. I am sure many of the town squares in Dixie are now being renamed for Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass as we speak. Sir, I expect the Confederate flags will be burned, not in protest, but in celebration. And never again will they appear on a Ford F-150 or at an Alabama college football game.
Whatever those things are, Staten. You really believe this to be true?
Yes, and I imagine all along the highways of this great nation, we will find roadside restaurants called the Cracklin' Barrel, featuring soul food and blues music. Our bathrooms will have small little drinking utensils that we will call Union Cups, and we will affix small placards onto our riding vehicles that will display popular phrases like, "My family surrendered before it was cool," "Honk if you hated slavery," and "I read the 13th Amendment and said, fair enough." The mood in the country is joyous and united. And how do you plan to celebrate, sir?
Well, I'm off to the theater.
Cannonball!
That
was an emotional roller coaster.
Yes, we've made two jumps in our history and gone from war to, well, another war. You would think that we've spent our last 250 years just fighting with each other or everyone else.
Well, in some ways, that's how history works. We tend to remember all the generals, the politicians, the troublemakers, but not many of the regular everyday folks who quietly live their lives and make things better in small ways.
Well, we sure did talk to a lot of those people on our podcast this year.
We sure did. We had so many guests that we decided to have a brand new category for this called Favorite Guest. And although every guest has been outstanding in their own way, the judging for our most favorite has been very intense. But please understand that it has been completely fair and unbiased and subject to the highest standards.
And you're saying this because one of your sons is a nominee?
Well, of course. This could make a very uncomfortable Thanksgiving.
You mean trying to explain to Sue how you decided that your son is not award-worthy?
Well, yes, and I really do want to see my grandchildren regularly.
Well, there's always family therapy, but let's turn now to celebrate those special individuals who we believe actually improve the world around them and announce our results so it'll be really awkward for Mark no matter what happens. So now, for my third favorite guest, I picked, do you remember Adam Parker Seibum? He was from Merry Britsmas.
Yes.
Adam had a lot of great stories. We have three great guests for England. The reason why I picked Adam is because, if you recall, he told us a story about his grandmother who had this tradition where she would go and recycle gifts. She'd go out to the resale
stores, yeah.
Yeah, and find really interesting things that she would match the people to. My own family was so taken with that description. They want to do that this year. They want us to do that same thing.
Are you going to do it?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to find a snake venom kit, but we're going to do it.
Adam was great and may come up again. I'm not sure. We'll see. But my number three was cooking with Daryl Pasternak. Daryl was so nice. A couple of things we learned about Daryl, as we talked about, he's got, you know, millions of followers. He's made himself successful with his daughter. One of the reasons I have him on the list too is he did our live show, and we found out that he had agreed to do that show, and then later on found out that it conflicted with his family's dinner that night, a family holiday dinner. And instead of canceling, which we would understand, he still showed up. He was just the most personable guy, made sure that all the books he gave away, he signed it and personalized it for each person. So that's why I kind of put Daryl as my number three.
Mark, as my number two, Daryl Pasternak. And I picked him number two, all of the things you said. And also, and probably most especially, if you recall, he and his family, remember, they went downtown and they saw a lot of the unhoused people there. So they went out and they bought things for them and passed them out. And then when they had finished, they actually drove through Lower Wacker where there were more people. And eventually it's grown into a charity for them that they still continue to this day. But to your point, he was incredibly generous with his time, with his attention. The fact that he would stay and wanted to make sure he gave us books that we could give out to attendees of our live show. But he stayed and made sure he signed them all personally. And he wrote everyone's name, a little message to him. He was just such a great guy.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so my number two is Jackie Kostick. Again, another live show one. And I don't know if that's influencing me. You know, it's maybe hard to articulate. Everybody's busy and has a time. But, you know, Jackie's up at oftentimes 4 a.m. covering snowstorms. And her energy level, so many people, I think they commented about Daryl's success and his story and the giving he does. I think what people talked about in my circle of friends and people tell us is Jackie's passion, her enthusiasm. It's hard not to smile and to laugh with her. She put herself out there to come onto a show. And then, I mean, they were back to singing again. She was more than willing to come up on stage
and sing with us. I start doing a little can-can kick. She joined right in with me. I think the humbleness of her too, Bob, like when we had written that song to welcome her, you know, oh, Jackie Costa, go Jackie. She was humble enough to look at that and pick it up off, because we taped it to the floor so Mark would not forget the words. She's like, that's the sweetest introduction I've ever seen. And she's like, can I have this piece of paper that you've been stepping on all night? And so the humbleness of that, I just felt like she should be on our list.
You know, and this is when you talk about these categories, this is what makes it so difficult. This is a new category. I struggled with this because every single one of these people brought something to the table. And I thought they were all wonderful with their
time. Well, you know, and Eric never really brought anything to the table. He talked about how to cook, but he never brought anything.
Well, that's true. I think he promised us some things, and we're still waiting for some smoked meat.
Exactly. But back to you, Bob.
Yes. So, like Jackie, you know what? I love Jackie. She's not on my list. Jack Ford, who I, on his podcast, he was a great guest. He's not on my list. Matt Fitzpatrick, PGA golfer, not on my list. You know who I picked for number one, Mark?
Me. Oh, no, I'm your co-host. Sorry. I'm not your
Yeah, you're not eligible. You would have. Number one in my life. Shoot. Number one to me, Mark.
Who's your number one guest, Bob?
It was Inga. Inga Rodright Escalera. In the same way that you described Jackie, her passion, her humor, just how excited she would get when we talked to her. I was excited, and she's carrying the camera around her house and showing us various things and opening a beer. She couldn't have been more charming, and she was my number one guest.
Great choice. If there's a top five, she easily would have been in that for all the reasons you mentioned, and so nice of her to play around with us. And again, someone who got excited about being part of us, too. Liked the idea of our podcast, shared it with others. Well, my number one, Bob, somebody already mentioned, and that's Adam Parker Sabon as number one. I was just so enthralled with him and the things he did. You kind of talked about it already, that tradition with his grandmother. He talked about a few movies that he likes to watch that I had never watched before. It's amazing how many guests we had.
Right? Yes.
I mean, think about the first 2 years combined. I don't think we had 12 guests.
No, not at all.
Right? And then one thing I would like to maybe throw out there, in case he's still listening, is I really enjoyed Glenn Warren last year, but I think he owes us some residuals because we gave him a whole show, Bob.
We did.
Glenn, if you're listening, think there's some gratuities or nudies or something we should get. We'll sell you some pierogies. Every one of them was just a joy to talk to.
I agree. Absolutely.
But first, Twist, a word from our sponsors.
After these commercial messages.
It's a commercial.
A crummy commercial?
These commercials are stupid.
Commercials.
Hey, Mark. What rhymes with Carrie Alehouse? From my male mouth. Hear the rail sounds. Oh, let's get real soused.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm writing a love poem to the Carrie Alehouse.
Okay, why?
Because it's so excellent. The food, the atmosphere, Tony the owner, he's a great guy and he supports the Carrigrove Trojans. Plus they have these awesome servers and bartenders, and they also brew their own beer.
Beer! Beer, give us a beer!
I think that it's a real local gem, and it needs to be recognized. I mean, it's like Cheers, but that's such a boomer 1980s reference that ages me. So I'll just say, it's like Patty's Pub from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but without the dysfunction and Danny DeVito.
Can I offer you a nice egg in this trying time?
Are you sure you're feeling okay?
Oh, I am now. Listen to this. Roses are red, violets are blue. I love Carrie Alehouse, and you will too.
The Carrie Alehouse, in the heart of Carrie.
Speaking of pierogies, as our listeners know, for the last year, we have dedicated ourselves to the study of that one extraordinary dish. It's the Latvian pierogi. We've spoken with many different culinary experts throughout the world. We've read the stories. We listened to the music. We compared the recipes. We debated the cooking techniques. We explored the traditions. And we have avoided the ovens for too long.
We have approached this task as podcasters or as two old guys with way too much free time on their hands.
Not us.
That changes today. After months of preparation, analysis, and treating this like a scientific experiment, the moment has finally arrived. Today, we move from theory to practice, from research to reality, from someone should make us some pierogi to, unfortunately, we're going to have to make some pierogi.
I know. The day of reckoning is upon us. We've gathered our ingredients. We've been invited to an outstanding kitchen. Yes. We've assembled the equipment, and we are ignoring many blinking red warning lights. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. As generations of Latvians have done before us, we are placing our fate into the hands of a power that is greater than ourselves. Before we begin, we call upon the spirits of all Latvian grandmothers watching from beyond. Please bow your head. Let our efforts not be for success. Instead, we ask humbly for your mercy. Judge us not too harshly. If we stumble, may it be remembered that our intentions were good, our efforts sincere, and our pierogi edible. Barely. Amen.
Amen. So with divine granny assistance, careful, meticulous preparation, and a shocking amount of bacon, we will now attempt to make pierogi. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to cook!
I just picture myself coming out dressed in bacon.
Well, I'm going to rub myself with bacon to start, Bob. Who knew a year ago this is where we'd be a year later?
And I know.
Let's get it on.
It's Christmas dinner.
Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Food they put out for Christmas Eve.
Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Most of your major food preparation holidays, Christmas.
Eat it.
Puts out food for Santa.
Eat it. If it's getting cold, reheat it.
There's no chili. No, chili's not a festive food.
Have a banana. Have a
We're sitting in La Belle Vie.
La Belle Vie, the good life. It has a meaning because you should have fun. And you'll live on the planet for so long.
Tell us about the house. La Belle Vie.
First bought about 900 acres, about four or five farms combined together.
And this is John D. Hertz.
John D. Hertz, who owned Yellow Cat.
Yellow Cat.
So he bought this property. He had beautiful horses on the property. He built his estate. Then the pool was built in 1923.
We're about 40 miles outside of Chicago.
John Hertz had elaborate parties and just me and Eleanor Roosevelt and presidents of the movie stars. Myrna Loy was married to his son. She was married to John Hertz Jr. for a couple of years and would come to watch polo matches and the parties. So John Hertz built this house for his oldest daughter, Leona. So they started the plans in 1929. It took about 3 years to build the house. It's built like a brick. Hertz is one of the biggest employers out here. He had about 100 people working in his house. And then when the stock market crashed, she fired him. And then a month later, we hired him back in to continue on the house. So this was Leona's house. Once they had renovated it, they then furnished it. There's some amazing things. After the Hertzes, they sold it to Otto Schnering with Hertz Candy Company. When Otto bought the place, he was the opposite of Hertz, the nicest man. And I think he had about 100 employees living in on the properties. He gave them free eggs, free milk, free swimming lessons, free horseback riding. He was a very, very nice man. And his wife was really into gardening. So she got the greenhouse.
Yeah.
And then there's even a flower room in this house. They'd bring the flowers down and arrange from the flower room before they came around the house. And he used this house as a guest house. Then Otto died. His wife stayed in one for a while. This house doesn't really have a lot of bedrooms. It's just set up strange because half the second floor is the master suite. It was the man's dressing room, the man's sleeping porch, the man's bathroom, and the dressing room, and the sunken tub. I mean, when I came to look at it, I had no intention of buying it. I was curious. I mean, it was dilapidated. Yeah. It was a little electric. It's in claw. One of them was the original plumbing. It had radiators, and the walls are all plastered with bleeding.
See, come in here. You know it's for sale. You just want to check it out.
I felt like when you go down a roller coaster and you're like, you know, yeah. You lose your heart. I was having an anxiety attack. That's all I could look at is everything that had to be done. I thought, who is going to take this thing? It would take so much to do. You'd have to be insane to do it. I thought, what's going to take this? And what's going to happen? This is terrible. So real estate agent and two of my three kids went back to my house, pulled out a bottle of wine. And 3 hours later, the kids are saying, Mom, you need to retire. You need to... And I'm like, oh, gosh, no. The real estate agent said, you really do need a fellowship. And I'm like, I'm still working. And I felt sorry for the house because so much char. I made this area the commercial kitchen. I want every experience to be something you can't get anywhere, not even downtown Chicago. So the bar is very high.
We are so lucky to be here. Yes, thank you, Sue.
So the first thing we have to do, we're going to measure 2 cups of milk, take a stick of butter, and we have to form it up. Form it up, but we don't want to boil it.
2 cups of milk.
When the butter melts, we want the butter to melt.
We're already in trouble. We'll be putting in a whole stick of butter.
Okay, so you're taking your milk or spatula. So your butter will start to melt. But our butter's melted. So far, it's perfect. Got the milk and the butter going. Now you see the bacon and the fat. But you need about 4 or 5 cups of flour. So you got to use your spoon and spoon it in. So you're going to put 4 cups in your plastic bin.
Okay.
Depending on the air temperature, the humidity, 4 cups might be enough, or you might need that extra cup, but it's easier to add.
Okay.
We're going to do 1 teaspoon of sugar. This is granulated sugar. 1 more cup of flour. Spoon it in my thing.
We pour our butter, milk in, and now we're stirring our sugar and yeast.
The dough's sticky, but it's too sticky.
Okay.
So I'm going to just throw a little in, maybe a third of the cup. And I'm going to work it into the dough with my hand. Always keep one hand out of the bowl. Otherwise, you have to steam up there. Just muck up one hand.
Okay.
Well, it feels soft. It feels warm.
Yeah, we can.
But it doesn't feel heavy. And look at how much trouble we got left. So look, they already dumped that 5,000.
Well, mine still is pretty sticky.
I put a little orange, yeah. Look at mine. Feels really nice.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's still like, see how it's still sticking like that?
Yeah, it's really wet. Oh, that's bubbly.
Oh, Arkins are lovely. I get yours is so wet.
Doesn't matter though. Can't crack it.
That's real. Right? Bob, I believe
in you. We don't want to work too much while we're in the dough because then it gets stiff. Then I'm going to dump mine out of this. And I'm just very lightly going to knead it a little bit just to make it a nice, beautiful border. Now, as you do that, it's going to get a little stickier again. I just greased my. The reason I did is because we're going to proof this for an hour. It's got to rise. So I greased all of my water. I'm going to put it in. And then I'm going to turn it over. The reason I did that is because now it has a coating of Crisco on it. So that it will be fantastic. Gentle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Love it. Get your fingers out.
Flip this over now.
Let's flip it over.
And look at how beautiful that is.
Turn mine over. And then I'm putting my lid on. You put it in. And then you turn it over. That way, it won't get crusty. You don't have to spread it.
Yeah.
Put your lid on. So, in the refrigerator over here, last night, I prepped bacon and onion.
Oh, look at that.
So, this is for the insides.
So, you put a lot of bacon in, right?
How big? It's so tickery bacon. And a large onion chow.
Yeah.
So, now we're waiting for what to call?
Proofing. It has to sit an hour so that it doubles in size. Now, what was interesting about this recipe, usually... Let it raise, shape it, and you let it raise again. But this doesn't say that. Just let it raise, you shape them, put them on a tray, and cook them.
Why would you let them rise twice?
The first time, yeast is growing and fermenting. And with a lot of doughs, bake it, shape it, and put it in the refrigerator, right? Which is great, because the next day you have zero mess. Just throw it in the oven anytime you want, and it's perfect.
If we didn't have a cooker, what would we have done?
If you didn't have a cooker, there's a couple things. You can put your oven on, like, really low. Or you leave it on the counter. It's summer today, and it's going to go, shh.
So a cooker keeps it at the right temperature.
And actually, I have it at 79, which is a little high. You know, you could do, like, 74 or something.
It's almost ready. So the first thing I'm going to do, now be gentle with the stove. Don't be in it. I have no idea what should be the right size, you know? Now, you're going to need flour here. You have not a lot. And I don't think it's too big or not. We don't know. We never did.
No, we don't. That's there's not a bread wrong.
Oh, that looks lovely. Flip one side over the other.
Yeah.
Make half and move it and cut it like this. You see that? And then you pinch your top.
Oh, I prematurely.
Yeah, you're kind of sealing it so the junk's not out of it.
Beautiful.
Really?
Hey, guys, we're doing this.
We are. We're in full prodding mode.
See, this is what I have to tell you. It just blows my mind that people that have never done stuff before do beautiful stuff. Is this how you expected today to be?
I'm so happy.
You're happy?
We could not have done this one. I don't think we'll know if the disaster would have anybody in. Yes. You clearly have taught people before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So coming in here, you're already, you have things set up. Even when you said, well, you have a poofer, I'm like, what's a poofer?
You see what I did here? I did a tray, and then I took a piece of parchment paper and put my name on it so that I know which one's mine.
Yeah.
How's everyone doing?
Good. Got a tray full.
Okay, let me put your label on. Guys, we're rocking and rolling here. How does your dough feel? Isn't it too nice?
Yeah, it was great.
It's only been cooked for 5 minutes.
Oh,
guys, knock it out of the park.
All right. They look so good. They look little pillows of bacon.
Guys, I'm killing it. All right. Let's see how long. Well, we have to make our egg. It says 30 minutes. It says 350, but bring it down by 55 degrees. So I put on 55. And it says half an hour. They could be done.
I hope we're not messing up your Friday.
It's nice to do some nice things. You want to break your egg. And then you want to, where's your egg, Bob? Then whisk it up. Pick either one of these. And we'll put a brush right beneath the egg.
Same thing. It looks like a masterpiece. It looks like a Van
Gogh. Bob is done.
All right.
How's our buns looking?
They're smelling good. They've been in a little longer now. Today you can translate smell.
It would smell awesome.
Pretty fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fun. But it do smell good.
They do.
Man rolls.
Man rolls. Now, you guys, I think one more minute, the top ones are gone. Makes sense. That means they were in 15 minutes, not 30. What do you think?
Well,
wow.
Jake, we're sorry you're not here to cook.
Too bad, Jake.
Wow.
We're eating for you.
They came out beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They are good, huh? Mission apples.
I like them.
I do too.
We did it. These are tasting really good.
Wow, we made a lot.
A year. It's been just a year to get here.
Oh, yeah, we haven't decided what our next adventure will be for next year.
And we did it.
Perfect. I love it, the timing split.
We did.
And you did it.
All right, signing off.
I have to say, I'm impressed with this little contraption here. It's really been tearing some holes through history.
I agree, but can you grab some of those empty Kool-Aid packets and that stovepipe hat floating around here? I think they're going to clog the flux capacitor.
My fingers are starting to prune now. How much longer do you think we've got? Can we go and see some dinosaurs?
In the past 250 years? I doubt it, but we can see what's up next.
Cannonball!
Welcome, Mr. Secretary. Can I get you a drink? Why, Art, is that a wad of cash in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see me?
Well, Mr. President, you know me. It's not my own money. It was given to me to hold, indefinitely, for some favors. By the by, Herbert, I thought alcohol was illegal.
Oh, now you know those rules don't apply to the chief executive.
Now, who says that?
Well, the Supreme Court does. Well, at least they will.
Why, this is quite a nice soiree you're having here. Is this the East Wing?
It is. I just wish I had a ballroom. You know, big enough to fit with the times. This is the Gilded Age, Mr. Mellon. The 1920s are nearly over, and I can't wait for the next decade. America is just so prosperous, so industrious, and so wealthy.
What did the market do today, Mr. Hoover? On the way here, those newspaper boys were all shouting about the stocks falling.
Oh, they just took a little tumble. But these corrections are healthy. Don't you know that? We are too big to fail. Would you like to join me for a Charleston?
Well, I'd love to, sir. But if you don't mind me asking, are you wearing cosmetics?
Cannonball!
I would just love to linger there a little longer with the jazz playing, gangsters thriving, and the market soaring. Well, for now.
And yes, the speakeasies, the bathtub gin, and people making foolish decisions that they'll quickly regret. What a great time.
Remember, we're back now from the 1920s, so I do have this memo from HR. You are no longer allowed to call anybody doll.
Fine.
Okay, toots.
Okay.
Or old sport, fella, or a bunch of mugs.
Horse feathers. Those stuffed shirt palookas really know how to take the fun out of a swell affair. What's our next award?
Best trivia.
It's trivia.
Trivia. Well, now that's the bee's knees, sweetheart.
Hey. Take it easy, pal. Don't get all in a lather.
No worries. This is just my favorite part. I love the trivia. It was so hard to limit it to just three. But here is my first selection. Number three. Mark, do you remember when we traveled to Colombia and the Colombian mayor there? He found a way to reduce traffic fatalities by more than 50%. He fired the corrupt traffic police of the city. And who did he replace him with? He hired 420 mimes to embarrass people.
Well, you know, Sue and I always say, because we're avid Jeopardy watchers, we watch it every single day. We always laugh and say it pays to travel, kind of learn things to travel. But there's been several things that have come up related to our movies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like little Christmas traditions and stuff. So people out there listening, if you want to improve your chances at Jeopardy, travel and listen to Festive Foreign Film Fans.
Absolutely. It's been endorsed by Ken Jennings. It's not the Ken Jennings on Jeopardy, is it? It's my neighbor down the street. But that Ken, he loves it.
He loves us. Well, here you go, Bob. My number three was the same one.
And you just picked it because I played a good mime at our live show, remember?
Oh, my God. You were amazing. Absolutely amazing. I just love how a little embarrassment will go a long way.
And don't you love, it wasn't even France. It's Colombia. The Colombian mayor goes, let's hire some mimes. That'll really embarrass people. And it worked. All right, Mark, I'm just going down into the juvenile gutter. My number two was from Switzerland when we asked about the event that nearly started the war between the village of Appenzell and the city of St. Gallen in 1579. We wanted to know, what was it that the printer forgot to include on Appenzell's coat of arms, which was a bear? What piece of the bear's anatomy was missing? And it's the only time I got, in 3 years, I got to say bear penis on our show.
Indeed. And you wanted to say it again. So there you go.
The bear penis that nearly started a war.
You know what? That could be such a Netflix movie. Yeah. I'm imagining like a four-parter. Well, how the bear got the penis, and then the penis is missing, and then how do they get the penis back?
Why hath thou forgotten thy bear's sheath?
Maybe not. Never mind. I don't think that's the case. Well, my number two is I'm back in Belgium again.
Our favorite spot.
Yep. And if you remember, the question was, if you stop at a bar in Belgium, we specifically needed to know what you need to leave behind there to keep from stealing a bar glass. And I think why I picked this is because it was so near and dear, some people in my family and circle of friends, we're not going to name any names on the show, but maybe they've been married to me, maybe they're friends. No matter where we go, there's these people in our circle of friends who take bar glasses all the time.
No.
All the time. And in fact, we were in Asheville one time, and they served this beer with this mug that was had to be 5 pounds. Wow. I mean, it was such a big thing. And the bar back, I think what they call them, can we take this? He's like, yeah, take them. I don't care. And then the bartender's, where's your glasses? We're like, oh, the bar kept back said we can keep them. Yeah, that's because he doesn't want to haul them, you know. You can't keep those. But we took them anyway. So anyway, that's the reason why. And we know now, what do they have to leave behind? One of their shoes.
That's why I'm wearing one shoe right now.
I think that was really brilliant. And I shared that with my brother-in-law, who owns a bar. And he said, I don't want any of my patrons being without shoes on their feet.
I thought he said, I don't want any of my patrons' shoes. I don't want to touch them. I don't.
That's right. That's what I mean. Yeah. I don't want to smell the feet. Yeah.
Well, Mark, there's officers standing outside our door right now waiting as soon as you leave. To...
Yeah. Hey, open
up. Glasses. Where are those glasses? Well, Mark, my number one trivia question, and I love this one. I absolutely do. And probably because it's so recent too. In Rwanda, in 2016, the Rwanda Football Federation passed strict measures and they wanted to curb something that they couldn't use in the sport of soccer or football, as they call it. And that was magic. And anyone that would use magic during the game, they got fined. They had serious fines for the use of magic.
No witchcraft. Yeah. Crazy. I also like that you used the more recent one too, like a newer tradition. That was on my high on my list. Well, my number one, Bob, and I've used this phrase.
Oh, I know which one this is. Are you thinking of England right now?
Yes. Close your eyes and think of England. I have shared that story so many times, and I've even said it to someone who had a little bit of a tough thing that they had to go through, or in a funny way. Go, oh, man, I got to do this. And I said, ah, just close your eyes and think of England.
I was too sheepish to go with that one, Mark.
I just think it's such a British thing to say.
Yes.
But the trivia questions.
They're so fun. They're so colorful. I love it.
I think we had a good list here.
Yes, we did.
But first, Twist, a word from our sponsors.
After these commercial messages.
It's a commercial.
A crummy commercial?
These commercials are stupid.
Commercials.
Bob, I think the Festive fans need a boat. It will make the podcast better. We can relax and unplug from the stresses of the day by spending time on the water. You know, we'll watch a foreign Christmas movie, then go out and enjoy the sun. Maybe think about the movie the next day when we're fishing. Then we can blast some of the Christmas tunes and test ourselves on trivia while we're tubing and wakeboarding. This just makes incredible sense.
And I got a guy.
Now, if we're going to buy a boat, we'll need to find a dealer with a good variety to pick from. Oh, and we'll also need someone who can help with the cleaning and detail. Oh, we'll also need to find one of those places where they can, you know, winterize it and store it. And oh yeah, solid repairman, reliable, who we can trust. There's so many vendors. Bob, are you writing this all down?
Mark, I got a guy.
Wait now, wait. I just realized this podcast doesn't pay for anything. Not even my hair and makeup. And I'm not willing to sacrifice Jake, although he will now have to be our galley boy. Anyway, maybe we can join one of those clubs, you know, where they share boats and you pay for one membership fee that covers the insurance, maintenance, cleaning, storage, everything.
And I got a guy.
You know, I'm thinking if we get a boat, we're going to have a party. Our friends will want to celebrate with us. We'll need to find a venue we can rent, you know, that's nice and elegant for guys of our stature now that we'll be boat owners. Or maybe instead we could just find a nice local bar to go to on land. That's where the real sailors would go. It should be a place where we can get cocktails and listen to live music and with some like real beachy vibes.
Mark, I said I got a guy.
Enough with your guys. With all these people you know, they're all going to have to come to our boat and come to our party. I've already spent all the money that we don't have, Bob. Don't you try to do it too.
Hey, it's one guy, the same guy, or the same family.
For what? The boat? The repairs? The parties? Which one are you talking about?
All of them. And the winterizing, storage, and the beach bar as well. Guess what? We can even get a bad boy tractor if we want one. Whoa. Twist my arm. See, we can find it all at All Marine Motorsports in Cary, and the Barrington Boat Club and Company in Port Barrington and in Wakanda. The owners, Dylan and Michelle Street, they offer everything, and I mean everything, boat and water sport related. Purchases, repairs, cleaning, storage, plus they even have a venue you can rent for parties at the Barrington Boat Company. And they own the Retro Rentals and Retreat in McHenry, where we can rent cool retro boats there, plus all the best water toys, and then grab a drink at the retreat. It's a beach bar on wheels.
That's incredible.
I know. Kind of like we just discovered the Santa Streets, and they're delivering us summer Christmas.
All Marine Motorsports, Barrington, Bangs Lake, and the Riverwalk Boat Clubs, Barrington Boat Company, and All Marine's Retro Rentals and Retro Retreat, making sure the hottest summer vacation is found at home.
Mark, I hate to tell you, but we've encountered one little unexpected problem with our time machine.
The glowing portal?
Nope.
The deep space wormhole?
Uh-uh.
Have we accidentally altered the course of history?
Worse.
Worse than altering history?
Yes. I just saw Sue and Mary Ellen zoom by.
Oh, that's not good.
They weren't alone.
That's really not good.
They were with Peter the Great and Rudolph Valentino, and they were laughing.
That really doesn't sound good, Bob.
Especially since I heard one of them use the word dreamy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's really not a word I've heard used around me before.
I know. The closest term of endearment I hear is adequate.
What are we going to do?
Well, you're going to have to tune in to next episode.
Oh, no.
Since our family life is hanging in the balance.
So you mean come back for more time travel, more awards, more festive cheer? Is history going to repeat itself?
Absolutely. And perhaps we will learn the answer to the pressing question when we all come back.
Wait. What's the question?
Have the wives returned?
The answer awaits. You next time.
Actually, we're done.
It's over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.